Bow with me again in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock solid God. It is to you that we come, and it is in the name of your Son that we pray, Jesus, and say together, Amen. So, how many of you read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? It's one of the funniest, best books ever written. It's a trilogy. It consists of four books and maybe five, but it is the funniest trilogy ever. And in the first book, we become acquainted with a race of beings who live in another galaxy, another dimension. And these beings want to know what is the answer to the question of life, the universe, and everything. In order to come up with the answer, they create a computer, Deep Thought, the best computer that has ever been written. They put it to work for millions of years. And the day finally comes when the computer has an answer. An answer to the question of life, the universe, and everything. And that answer is one word, and that one word is, don't say it. You need to read the book. I won't tell you. However, I'll ask you, right? Because you have brains. You're smarter than a computer. I trust it. What do you think is the answer to the question of life, the universe, and everything? And could you give it to me in one word, three words? Mine has changed. My worldview, my paradigm, my picture of what's happening in the universe changed about 3 or 4 months ago. And it changed because of one word found in our scriptures. And I loved that word, and I started researching all of these verses that had that word, especially the verses in the New Testament. And wow, I have a new paradigm. I can give it to you in three words. And actually, I was thinking along the lines of a survey that I shared with you once a long time ago. When people ask people, what's the one thing you most want to hear in life? What's the one thing that would be best for someone to say to you? Number one in that survey was, I love you. And that's actually not at all a bad definition of life, the universe, and everything, right? Aren't we here because God is love and because He loves us? So that was the first sentence, I love you. The second sentence was, I forgive you. That was the second most wanted to hear sentence. And that's not a bad description of life, the universe, and everything. We live in the middle of a huge flow of forgiveness. That's what gives us life. That's what gives us joy. That's what gives us peace and happiness. And we just try and seek to get that forgiveness known everywhere else. So there are two sentences. But I want to share with you a third that has really captured my heart the last 3 or 4 months. We'll start with the word. You'll notice that in the bulletin it says that the sermon is, and that word is not included. That underline is there on purpose because I'm going to share the word with you. But actually, I want you to share it with me. I'm just going to read a bunch of verses in the New Testament that have this word. And once you pick up on what the word is, then you can tell it to me after I read the scriptures. And don't worry, I'm going to try so hard not to read and really emphasize that word so that everyone's going that. I'm going to try and read this normal. I don't know if I can. But if you would stand, please, for the reading of God's word. And listen for the word of the day. This is like Sesame Street. Today's sermon is brought to you by the word. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Therefore, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat in the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full.'" And almost the very last words of your Bible, near the end of the very last chapter in your Bible, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and 'Let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." And the Sesame Street word of the day is come. Please be seated. And our next slide, that slide has our word, come. I got hooked on that word and started reading it and became amazed how I kept hearing it over and over and over again. So, here's one of the great sentences in the English language, possibly not as good as "I love you," possibly not as good as "I forgive you," but for the last 3 or 4 months, this is how I've been seeing life, the universe, and, and everything. Three words, and that sentence is, you're invited. You're invited. I love to hear that word. Three words. I love to hear that sentence. There we go. You're invited. The last formal invitation I got was to head over to Gail and Neil's house for a meal and a celebration of Neil and Gail's birthdays. And I love it. You pick up the phone and someone says, "You're invited." And right away, you know two things. Number one, something's going on. Something's happening. Something's taking place. And number two, somebody wants me to be there when it happens. Something's happening, and somebody wants it to happen with me. I love it, and God's word is so clear. We are invited. Come, come, everything's ready, come. The Holy Spirit says, come. And the bride, who's the bride of Christ? Us, the church. The church says, come. That's our message. If you've ever wondered what evangelism is, it's just saying, come. Hey, God's been good to me. Come check it out. Hey, this fellowship has been good to me. Come check it out. Hey, Jesus is the answer to life, the universe, and everything. Come, check it out. Something's happening. There is a plan that is underfoot and that is going on, and we have become swept up in this plan for this day. Have you ever felt, and I know the answer already, but have you ever felt like I have felt that things aren't right? You ever had a time when you thought this is not the way it's supposed to happen? This is not what's supposed to be going on. This is not right. And do you ever catch yourself longing for something better? There's got to be something better than this, better than all that we've seen. And at other times, have you ever just caught a glimpse of something so good and so wonderful and so awesome that it kind of stirred your imagination and you thought, whoa, wonder what's even better than this. Wonder what it is that I'm just barely seeing. When you think either of those ways, boy, this is not right. Man, I'm disappointed. Or you're thinking, wow, there's goodness that I haven't yet touched. Either of those ways, you're thinking the same thing that was thought by people of faith. And in the scriptures, remember Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter on faith? In that chapter, it talks about people of faith and says, they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, because of that, because they're sometimes frustrated, because they're sometimes disappointed, because they're sometimes let down, and because sometimes they get a glimpse that things could be so much better, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Something's happening. Something's going on. Something is moving. Do not let people tell you that life is cyclical. Do not let them tell you that history repeats itself. Even though sometimes, of course, history does, but we know the truth. There was a beginning. There will be an end. Moving in a linear fashion as we head towards the goodness of God. Something wonderful and wonderful and good is happening. And sometimes it feels like a war. Because that's precisely what's happening, right? Isn't that part of it? Don't we have an enemy? Aren't we engaged in a spiritual battle? Isn't there a battle going on between truth and lies? Sometimes we're in war. And so sometimes we find ourselves starting to lack a little bit of faith and joy. Peace, hope, love, that's what our enemy wants. He is the father of lies. He will lie to you at every turn. Jesus says that's his native language. And he is trying to tell you there is no hope. Nothing's going on. It's all random. You meet good people, you meet bad people, things happen in life. That's the enemy. Jesus says, I'm always with you. And something is happening. And of course, by God's grace, there are times that it doesn't feel like war. We all have times when we're just by the still waters, resting, feeling wonderful, wonderful, marvelous, marvelous times. So we say with Paul, you ever listen to what Paul said about life? He said, man, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Wow, that sounds like us. It's amazing how much these Bible people just sound like you and I. Well, we get knocked down, but we're getting back up by the grace of God. And not only is something happening, but here's the beautiful part. Here's the hard part to believe. I can believe something's happening. I can believe God is at work. I can see the undercurrents. I can see the movement. But the wonderful, wonderful news is God really wants us to be a part. He wants us to be on the side of the good. And even when we don't want that, even when we don't want to be around God, He's like a parent who's staring down the road and just wondering if his child is ever going to come back home. There are times that we can't seem, times that we're really close to losing hope. And then He's like a stranger walking down the road with us. And as He's talking with us, our hearts are burning and we don't know it at the time. But later on, we look back and we think, whoa. That time I thought I was so far from God and He was so far from me. Oh, He was walking side by side with me. Wow. And God is like, and I loved being invited to Gail and Neil's house, but God's like somebody incredibly rich and famous and powerful, like, oh, I don't know, a movie star or a president. And I love the two of you better than movie stars and presidents, by the way. But it's like someone like that who invites us into the inner circle and starts sharing with us everything that's going on, telling us all the plans, everything that's happening. And doesn't that feel wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? I was working, doing sound for my band, and we were at a concert about to happen. And Jim Ed Brown, who at that time was the number one country singer in the entire nation, he and Helen Cornelius, the number one duet, Jim Ed Brown actually walked up to me and said, "Are you going to be doing the sound for my band?" And I looked him in the eyes and I said, "I don't know." And he said, "Nothing." He just turned and he was gone. Apparently he was looking for somebody who knew what they were doing and knew what was going on. So that was my contact with the rich and famous. I was not invited in. Isn't it wonderful that God would invite us in? And everything in Scripture makes it very clear that before God created us, He knew what He was going to have to do if He was ever going to invite us in. He knew about the cross before He had invented wood. Before wood was created, God realized He was going to have to die on the cross for us. And He could have just said, let's don't do this plan. But He loved us so much and wanted us so much to be with Him that He said, "Let's do it." And He said, "Let there be light." And the plans moved from there and moved to the cross. I am telling you that that is astounding love. We are invited. Can you hear God saying that to your heart? You're invited. Come. And church, your mission is to join me in saying, come. Hear the invitation to all of our neighbors and our friends. That's the answer to life, the universe, and everything. Let's sing.